Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
You know, last time we really dug into the geological mysteries hiding in Appalachia and the implications of those ancient formations. But today, oh boy. Today we're taking a wild leap straight into the idea that we're actually living in 1727. Yeah, you heard that right. Some folks suggest the Dark Ages, as we know them, were fabricated. And honestly, it's a rabbit hole worth exploring. Let's get into it. The Phantom Time Hypothesis suggests 297 years of history were fabricated. And you're about to see why we might actually be living in 1727. You know the exact moment you stopped trusting the official story. It wasn't one thing. It was the accumulation, little inconsistencies you couldn't unsee, the gaps in the timeline, the burned libraries, the convenient missing centuries, and now you're about to see why the number on your calendar might be a lie. This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
The Byzantine scholar Joseph Justus Scaliger published a timeline in 1583. His landmark work, De Emendatione Temporum, that became the backbone of modern history. One problem, it was built on assumption, not evidence. He took ancient texts that didn't match each other, spliced them together, and created a narrative so seamless that nobody questioned it for 400 years. But here's what they don't teach you. The Dark Ages weren't dark because nothing happened. They were dark because someone needed them to be dark. A blank canvas, a place to hide a reset. Think about what we actually know for certain. We have coins, we have buildings, we have scattered written records. But the chain connecting them, the causal chain that says this event led to this event led to this event, that's almost entirely reconstructed, that's interpretation dressed up as fact. And interpretation can be revised, especially when the revision serves a purpose. The evidence sits in plain sight. Medieval buildings across Europe are too uniform in their degradation patterns, too similar in their architectural mistakes, as if they weren't built over centuries, as if they were built in compressed time by people using corrupted, half-remembered instructions from something older. The Roman Colosseum shows damage patterns consistent with controlled demolition, not organic collapse. The aqueducts that supposedly took generations to build have construction techniques that don't match the purported eras of their creation. You're looking at the fingerprints of a civilization that was hastily deconstructed and rebranded. But the real evidence is in the calendar itself. The Gregorian calendar was introduced in 1582 by Pope Gregory XIII, ostensibly to correct a minor astronomical drift in the Julian calendar. 10 days were simply erased. October 4th, 1582, was followed by October 15th, 1582. Yeah, gone, vanished. And while everyone focuses on those 10 days, they miss the larger implication. If the Vatican felt comfortable deleting 10 days from official history, what stopped them from deleting centuries? What if the calendar didn't just get adjusted? What if it got reset? This question goes back even further to how the Anno Domini dating system was created in the first place by a 6th century monk named Dionysius Exiguus, who calculated the year of Christ's birth not from primary evidence, but from his own calculations. The very foundation of our numbered years was a single monk's arithmetic. The Council of Nicaea had already demonstrated centuries earlier that ecclesiastical bodies could redefine time for political purposes. A calendar reset wasn't unprecedented. It was institutional abbot. Now, layer this onto the phantom time hypothesis. In 1991, Herbert Illig, a German historian and researcher, proposed something radical, that approximately 297 years of history, specifically the years 614 to 911 AD, never actually happened. They were inserted into the timeline retroactively, padding the gap between the fall of Rome and the rise of the medieval kingdoms. His evidence wasn't circumstantial. It was mathematical. Illig wasn't working in isolation either. He built on an earlier tradition of chronological skepticism Russian scholar Nikolai Morozov had in the early 20th century, questioned the authenticity of ancient chronology using astronomical back calculation, arguing that many ancient events were medieval occurrences misdated. The idea that time had been stretched or fabricated wasn't new. It had a lineage. The archaeological record shows almost no construction activity during these so-called phantom centuries. No cities expanding, no infrastructure development, no coins being minted at consistent rates. This is the period that includes the so-called Carolingian Empire. Charlemagne, his court, his conquests, yet the physical evidence for any of it is strikingly thin. It's as if civilization paused, then resumed. As if someone drew those centuries in with a pencil, and the pencil was barely pressed down. Here's what the controllers wouldn't want you to realize. If those centuries were phantom, what about others? What if the deletion wasn't a one-time event, but a systematic operation? What if every major transition in history, every fall of an empire, every religious revolution was accompanied by a calendar adjustment? And Illig wasn't the last to go down this road. Russian mathematician Anatoly Fomenko developed his own new chronology in the 1990s, arguing that virtually all of ancient history was a fabrication, that events attributed to ancient Rome, Greece, and Egypt were actually medieval occurrences that got duplicated and back-projected onto a phantom past. Fomenko's work is more radical than Illig's, but both converge on the same foundational insight. The timeline we inherited was constructed, not discovered. When independent researchers in different countries, working from different evidence, arrive at the same structural conclusion that centuries are missing or invented, that convergence is difficult to dismiss. Now, the establishment's defenders will point to astronomical evidence. Solar eclipse records, they say, confirm the conventional timeline. Pliny recorded a solar eclipse in 59 AD. The math checks out on the official calendar, they argue. But this objection assumes the eclipse records themselves weren't retroactively fitted to the fabricated timeline, a circular defense. They'll also cite dendrochronology, tree ring dating, as independent confirmation. The problem is that dendrochronology has its own calibration issues, particularly for the early medieval period, where the master chronology has significant gaps that were filled using assumptions about regional climate consistency. It's not an independent check. It's another layer of the same reconstructed framework. Consider the math on atmospheric conditions. The Earth's magnetic field has been decelerating. We know this. We have measurements dating back to the 1840s. We can extrapolate backward. If the field is decelerating now, it was stronger in the past. A stronger magnetic field means different atmospheric conditions. Different atmospheric conditions mean different dating signatures in tree rings, ice cores, and carbon samples. Carbon dating itself assumes a constant decay rate and constant atmospheric ratios. Change the magnetic field significantly, and every radiocarbon date in the archaeological record becomes unreliable. Every single one. This isn't speculation. This is why carbon dating has a margin of error. Why archaeologists have to constantly recalibrate their assumptions. Why objects from ancient Egypt sometimes date younger than objects from medieval Europe. Contradictions that get smoothed over in academic papers with footnotes nobody reads. The Dendera Zodiac is a stone carving inside the Temple of Hathor in Egypt. Mainstream scholars date it to roughly 50 BC based on planetary configurations and eclipse data. But here's the problem with that dating. It relies on the same astronomical back calculation methods that Morozov and Fomenko have shown can be manipulated to fit a predetermined timeline. The astronomical alignments depicted don't have to match 50 BC. The match depends on which celestial parameters you prioritize and which you dismiss. When researchers outside the Orthodox framework run those same calculations, the results cluster around a much later date. You're not necessarily looking at an ancient map of the stars. you may be looking at proof that someone moved the dates around and forgot to update all the evidence consistently. But here's where the trap closes. Here's where you have to accept something that feels impossible. The calendar reset wasn't an accident. It wasn't even primarily about astronomy. It was about control, about authority, and about who gets to define reality. When you control the calendar, you control history. When you control history, you control what people believe about themselves. You make them ancestors of the civilization you describe, not the one they actually lived in. You erase their real genealogies, their real inheritance, their real accomplishments. A Byzantine peasant becomes a medieval peasant, a different category entirely, with different status, different capabilities, different destiny. The Vatican understood this perfectly. The Catholic Church didn't just want spiritual authority. It needed temporal authority, the ability to say, this is how long we've been here, this is why we matter, this is why you should obey. A calendar reset provides that. It creates a clean break between the old world and the new world. It makes the church the arbiter of time itself. Pope Sylvester II and Otto III, who supposedly ushered in the year 1000 AD, are central figures in Illig's analysis. He argues their papacy and reign were partially or entirely fabricated to serve this narrative. So what year is it really? If we subtract the phantom centuries, if we remove the 297 years inserted between 614 and 911 AD, if we account for other smaller adjustments around major transitions, the true year should be somewhere around 1400 to 1500 AD, which means we're not living in 2026, we're living in 1727 at the latest, probably closer to 1650 or 1680. The solar maximum cycles we've been tracking, the demographic curves, the technological acceleration rates, they all fit better with a 300 to 400 year compression than with the official timeline. You can feel it, can't you? The way technology has accelerated asymptotically in the last 150 years, the way history suddenly becomes detailed and verifiable only in the last 400 years, with everything before that being mythological soup, the way ancient ruins often show no weathering consistent with their alleged age, we're not 2,000 years removed from Rome, we're 400 years removed, maybe less. This reframing doesn't erase history, it reorders it. The Dark Ages weren't backwards, they were contemporary. The people you think of as medieval were your neighbors, living in your time, just in a different region. The classical world didn't end 1,500 years ago. It ended 400 years ago, and we've been living in its shadow ever since, slowly recovering the technology it had while thinking we're inventing something new. And the worst part, the part that should terrify you, is that we're living inside a second reset right now. Notice the acceleration of historical revision. Notice how quickly they're rewriting timelines, destroying old documents, digitizing and thereby controlling all records. Notice how the official story of world history has become unstable, constantly updating, constantly shifting. That's not science correcting itself. That's an active operation to make the old evidence illegible. If we're really in 1727 or 1680 or 1650, then the people who carried out the first reset are either still alive in institutional form, the Vatican, the royal houses, the old money families, or their successors are protecting their work. Either way, they're not going to admit it. They're going to keep pushing the official timeline. Keep dismissing researchers like Illig and Fomenko. Keep making sure the average person stays confused about how much time has actually passed. You're holding a clock that was stopped, reset, and restarted, and nobody told you. The only question left is whether you're going to keep reading the numbers on its face or finally acknowledge that you don't know what time it really is. This has been Some Unapproved Thinking. Next. 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 Next, next, next.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring Some Unapproved Thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out. And next time, we're going deeper.